Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I'm joined by guests for a lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the comics blackout that's been going on for a couple of weeks now. We're recording this on April 20th on a Monday night, so we're getting close to the three-week point. Now, joining me again is Eric from Cowabunga. How you doing tonight, Eric?
I'm doing good, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have a little bit of free time on my hands because there have been no new comics coming out for the last couple of weeks.
Have you started up on that new singing career now that you've got some time?
I have not, but I've been catching up on inventorying my comics, doing a little house cleaning, watching some TV, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I wish I could say I'm doing the same, but I'm not.
Yeah. Well, I live alone and don't have kids, and that certainly helps.
It does.
The reason we're recording this time is Friday, a couple of things happened. And man, that was just it was kind of wild. At one point, It was looking like there was talk that Diamond may not start, you know, shipping again until like August or something, or maybe that was on Thursday. I forget. The time blurs together. But then it's no, they're gonna start shipping again in mid to late May, and then all of a sudden DC's coming out with but we've got other distributors and we're gonna come out in you know April or whatever. And man, people have been talking about that a lot.
Yes. Yeah, it's been quite an adventure for the last few days, and I guess maybe a good place to start is I'll play back the timeline a little bit to get us at least up to Friday so that we know kind of where we're at and what we're dealing with. You and I did our first recording of the blackout just to kind of talk about what the impact was to the industry with Diamond saying they're not shipping any new comics, and that was comics slated to come out April 1st. And we kind of had the discussion about, you know, there is a need for a market disruption from a distribution standpoint, right? There needs to be a second valve somewhere or some way for us to have a fallback. You and I live in the technology world, and I think a fair number of our listeners do. And in the technology world, we always talk about load balancing and fallback protection and things like that. And the comics market doesn't really have that. As far as distribution standpoint goes. And I think they're finding out they didn't really have that as far as a printing standpoint goes. So, you know, pandemics, I guess, can bring out some good things, right? We have to think about how we're going to adjust, what we're going to do as far as getting product from digital files to physical media to the outlets of which they need to be sold at. Now, with everything up in the air with Diamond and Transcon and all those other groups, stores are also closed. In fact, the larger majority of stores are actually closed. Not as fortunate as James and I with Cowabunga, where we are able to do things like drop-offs at people's houses. We can do mail order. We've worked out a system that we got the okay with, that we have a box outside of our facility. If somebody is coming to pick something up, we can set it in the box and they can get it. We are not allowed to do a true curbside drop-off to them, but we're allowed to set product in a box that they can pick up. So, you know, we're lucky. And what we've been doing over this time is shifting a lot of our backroom stock, some obscure things that we've just put back there, kind of that we'll deal with it later. Maybe like the housekeeping and stuff that you're doing and inventory, where it's like, oh, we've got some time, let's do something. So we've been, you know, cranking out, really working hard on getting our eBay page loaded up with different stuff. Not really so much comics as it is a lot of either out of print hardcovers, trades, things like that, figures, you name it, just all the oddball stuff that stacks up in the back room. So we've been working on that. I stood up a quick and dirty web store where we could throw some comics, and we've been trying to get product up there, some gaming stuff. And we've been, James and I are probably putting in longer days now than we were just running the store and doing the mail order the way we were. And that's not a bad thing, other than the fact that we're tired. But it's good because it's forcing us to push ourselves harder in other areas. And we're realizing things. We're realizing that this online web store that I put together, while maybe not the final solution we would like to have for where the mail order business is going, certainly seems to be a very viable solution for locals, our people around us that maybe live 45 minutes away. So a journey to us is a little bit too much, but would rather shop with us than a competitor. So it's forcing us to think differently about things. And that's great. And that's the same thing that's happening in the comics industry. So right now, as we were to all understand, Diamond had exclusive distribution for floppy comics with pretty much all of the large publishers and a lion's share of the smaller publishers.
Well, just to split hairs just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I think they had exclusive agreements with a lot of the smaller publishers. I think they were sales agents for Marvel, DC, possibly the other premier publishers. The key difference, when they're a sales agent, they never actually take ownership of the material, and therefore there's less risk to them because they're not buying and reselling it like they are for the other publishers.
Yeah, and I think that that's a point that I don't know if we'll ever get full clarity on that, to be honest, because as I understand it, they are actually paying for and taking full ownership of the product, and they have their own payment terms with the publishers. But again, I don't work for Diamond, so I don't have that paperwork. It was our understanding that from a floppy comic standpoint, they were the sole distribution output. There mm-hmm. was nobody else that could or would distribute floppy comics for at least the big three. So when this whole thing kind of kicked up, there was a staggered effect, right? New York City shut down quick. The state of California shut down quick. Certain areas closed doors on businesses much faster. We were a little bit more delayed. We're in the center of the country, so you know things kind of come in to the center for us. So when Justin Bieber hit, it took a year before Wisconsin really got hit with Bieber fever, which is great because it gave us a year to brace. Same thing happened with the pandemic. We had, 4 to 5 weeks before we really started to see anything about it. And by that time, our governor saw what other governors were doing and just said, okay, boom, we're doing this safer at home, stay at home, whatever kind of thing it's going to be called. Every state has a different flavor. But we were still operating up until, actually, I think we were operating just before the end of March. So we were still working, business as usual. Other places, not so much. With that happening, there were a number of stores that said, well, we're not closed. We need product. We need to sell product. Diamond shut down. So DC said, well, we're going to look for other ways to distribute comics.
Well, the other thing is at this point, DC's printer, I think, shut down.
Yeah, DC's printer shut down. Well, DC's floppy comic printer, or at least their primary one. They may have had a secondary one, but this printer is based in Canada. So not only do they have a Canadian government that they have to deal with, a federal government, they have a Canadian, they're not states, they're provinces, a provincial government, and you have a border crossing. So there's a lot of pieces that have to work right there. So Transcon shut down, sent everybody home. DC was printing things, though, their trades that they distribute through groups like Simon & Schuster, Random House, Scholastic. Those are printed in another place, so they're still able to get stuff out. So their idea was, how can we produce something to get it out to people? So then everything went radio silence. Nothing from Diamond, nothing from DC. Marvel threw out a whole bunch of things, and we talked about this on the last podcast, returnability, increased discounts. They extended terms to Diamond, deeper discounts to Diamond and longer terms to Diamond than what they had previously. We went through that whole litany. So if anybody wants to know what's going on from that standpoint, go ahead and go back and listen to the previous episode and all the other ones that are out there too, because you've got time on your hands maybe. So we were just in a holding pattern. Nothing was happening. Nothing, no news. It was definitely not a no news is good news because there was no news. So we had nothing to plan from. But then all of a sudden, last Friday, which would have been the 17th?
Yeah.
We get an email at 8-something in the morning from Diamond Comics saying, we're going to be, looking to resume operations in our facilities mid-May with the target of shipping books end of May. We're working with the publishers to figure out how we're going to stagger releases so as to not overwhelm. We understand that not all of you are going to be open yet or even, will be close to it. So re-FOC things so that you can adjust your orders. And we're working with the publishers to make that happen. That was actually welcome news for us because we at least had a date. Now, they did caveat it saying unless there's a flare-up or something else happens, that was their target. So, hey, we had a target. We knew we were hitting. And that was great because it let us say, all right, well, we understand how we're operating the business now. Carry on. Then about, an hour later, we get an email from DC that there are now two new distributors for DC product. And they are Lunar and I still don't even know, UCS or something like that.
UCS distributors, yeah.
Yeah, so there's two new distributors, and this is Friday morning. You need to have created an account and place your orders by the end of day Monday for a set list of about a dozen titles, which were mostly reprints and some lower tier books like Daphne Byrne. I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying Daphne Byrne is a bad book. I'm saying lower tier as far as sales numbers.
Lower circulation, yeah.
Yes. So that list came out Friday, and we were told we'd have to set up an account. We were also told that because we are west of a certain point, we would have to set up an account with Lunar. We could not set up an account with UCS. That was not an option. So first of all, we're trying to figure out, what does this mean for us in general? Who are these groups? What are they doing? How is product going to flow? We're told, oh, product will be coming in for the 28th. So we're placing orders for, which would be today, the day we're recording, April 20th, by the end of the day, that we would then be receiving next week, Tuesday. So first of all, short timeline. We aren't going to be open. Our store will not be allowed to be open. Most stores aren't going to be allowed to be open. The books that they put up there were books that were lower tier. And then there was this little phrase inside of the release that said, your orders with Diamond have been canceled. And that was the part that really started setting off a few retailers to figure out what the heck is going on. So throughout midday on Friday, there were retailers that were looking up who these new distributors are, where they were located, and things like that. And it turned out that fairly quickly they were able to assess that Lunar, oddly enough, has the exact same address as DCBS in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And UCS, oddly enough, has the exact same address as Midtown in New York City. So it came pretty quick that we figured out who was doing what and where. And that set off even more alarm bells, and probably bigger alarm bells. One thing that I've maintained consistency in what I've been saying is that, yes, there needs to be some other distribution option. That doesn't mean that we would shift our purchasing from Diamond to a new distributor. It means that what we would do is be looking at seeing what this new distributor could offer and hopefully having it push Diamond to do things better.
Well, yeah, because if there's a new distributor, if they want to get you as a customer, they've got to offer a better deal. If they're offering a better deal, then Diamond needs to do a better deal. It forces both companies to compete against each other to earn the business versus, well, we're the only distributor in town, therefore we get it regardless.
Right. So we were kind of trying to figure out what this all meant, but then, you know, there's a big dust up of retailers saying, wait a minute, you're telling me that my direct competition, the people that are discounting books deeper than I am, selling them in larger volumes than I am, are now going to get even deeper discounts because they're going to become a distributor. They're going to force me to have to set up an account with them. They're going to get my financial information. They're going to get my order size knowledge. They're going to figure out, you know, a number of different things off of this that they could use in some way, shape, or form to try and take my business. Now, there's other pieces that are maybe a little bit less scary for retailers to think about, but more burdensome. Most retailers that are buying through Diamond are using Comic Suite, which is Diamond's proprietary software that handles everything from our customer information, our sales records, our pull lists, special orders, invoicing, pull lists. It does all of those things for us. That's how in the store we put our orders together, submit them, receive invoices. A new distributor won't have that system, and that's okay. People have existed in the past without that. But these new distributors don't have any system. It is literally back to pencil and paper, and I have to cross mingle it with the things that I'm doing in my store. I have a POS that runs off of Comic Suite, so now I have to somehow get these new immature distributors information into my point of sale system. I have to figure out how to do this in a week. And the even more kind of troubling thing is that on Friday, if you went to go and try and create an account, it was going to take 7 to 10 business days to create your account. There are still people tonight who have applied for their account on Friday, and their account has not yet been created with these distributors. So how are they going to place an order by tonight if they don't have an account?
When you say these are immature distributors, what we're talking is immature in a business sense, i.e. they haven't been around long.
Correct, correct.
And my understanding is they were not, these companies, even though Midtown and DCBS obviously have existed for quite some time, Lunar and UCS have not existed more than, I don't even think they've existed for 2 weeks as we record this.
Correct.
So just spinning up the business, much less getting a point of sale system, order forms, and all of the logistics. I mean, they can leverage some of what they've got for their existing business.
They didn't even have COD terms, shipping terms, none of that. You were signing up into an empty black box.
Going in, because my understanding is these, at least the domains may have been registered on the 8th of April. I don't know when the companies started happening. But let's face it, none of this is older than a month, because a month ago, Diamond was working just fine.
Right.
So to go from ground zero in a month to actually getting books to stores, man, that's aggressive.
It is, and that points to, well, so there's so many different avenues to go in. I don't even know where to start. Let's just start with throwing out a few more things, and then we can kind of go into the retailer reaction and points of view on that. So as we talk about this and we look at what these new distributors mean, there was a lot of mixed messaging, and there's still mixed messaging as of 8:51 p.m. Central Time on Monday, April 20th. We get notice from DC that our DC orders have been canceled through Diamond. We go into Diamond and we see that our orders are still there. We get an email late Friday, like Friday evening, from Diamond saying your orders are not canceled. You know, we'll have a re-FOC and, you know, please refer to our announcement earlier this morning related to our business resuming normal function. Then sometime over the weekend, I can't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, we get another note from DC. Your orders will be canceled through Diamond Comics. If you would like to order these books, please go through your assigned new distributor based on where you're located. So now again, we're going back to, okay, our orders are canceled. Well, we don't, James and I, don't want to shift from Diamond. Are they the best? No. Do they make a lot of mistakes? Depends on the day. But you know what? They have a process, they have a procedure, we have a system. It's a known.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is a complete unknown at this point. Like I said, they didn't even have COD terms, shipping charge terms. And we, now that we have their shipping charge terms, it would, for us to make any money, we'd have to sell a lot more DC books than we normally do. So over the weekend, we're still hearing our DC stuff's canceled. Okay. Well, Monday morning, we come back. We get another email this morning from Diamond that kind of a reassurance. You know, the plan is still mid-May, end of May for shipments. Your DC orders have not been canceled. We're working with DC Comics to understand how they're going to react and giving you another FOC opportunity. Midday today, DC Comics puts out a nice long list of things, and in it it says, the reason Diamond hasn't canceled your DC orders yet is because they're slowly working through the system. So again, DC telling us orders are canceled. Finally, I can't even remember what time it was. It was maybe around 6:30, 6 o'clock, something like that, this evening. We get another communication from DC that said, your orders have not been canceled. When the FOC reappears, you can either adjust or zero them out to cancel them. So our orders are never canceled at any point, and Diamond was not being cut out of DC distribution at any point. We don't know if it was DC trying to strong arm us, if it was a complete mix up in communication, but that didn't fly over well. So yeah, it's where we are.
Well, I think there's some aspects. Yeah, I think there's some aspects of the messaging of the new distributors that could have been better. The whole mix up of all the orders canceled or not should never have happened, but obviously it did. It does come across as kind of forcing retailers a little bit into a panic, but also into dealing with the new distributors, whether they want to or not, and that's not cool. But also doing it under new names for the distributors versus just saying, hey, we're going to have DCBS in Midtown do distribution, you know, regionally or whatever. That also kind of implies the fact that people Friday had to uncover who these distributors were operated by. I'm not saying there was that these Midtown or DCBS did anything wrong, but it feels like they were hiding something, or it could be taken that way, I guess is how I should put it.
Yeah, like a bait and switch.
If it was no big deal, why weren't they up front and just said, hey, we're DCBS, we're Midtown, and we're doing this?
Right.
You know, it raises questions that didn't need to be raised that don't really help the situation at all.
Yeah, well, I think it's correct, but it also raises a lot of questions that I think do need to be raised and that we do need to understand. We need to understand, you know, we have a standing discount with DC Comics, as does every retailer. How does this affect our two biggest competitors? Does this give them a better discount, or are they relegated to having to buy from themselves? Can they legally do that? Is that some sort of conflict of interest? You know, now here's another angle. Is it a conflict of interest for DCBS and Midtown to be receiving DC product at a wholesale price to be distributing, and also receiving other product from Diamond Comics? Can Diamond Comics shut off DCBS and Midtown from receiving anything else in their previous catalog? And if they do that, do these exclusive contracts that exist preclude DCBS and Midtown from being able to actually sell to their end customers these products? Like, there's so many questions out there.
Well, yeah, I don't know that there's anything that forces Diamond to do business with DCBS and Midtown if they don't want to. And putting myself in the mind of, if I were at Diamond, what would I be thinking? Well, there's a lot to be said for cut the competitors off at the knees. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing, or that's good for the industry, or that's fair, or anything of the sort. And I'm not even saying I would do it. I would certainly consider it, though.
I think you have to.
Yeah. I mean, business-wise, it just makes sense. And it's one of those things that if the shoe were on the other foot, if it was Diamond that was still in operation, and for some, I mean, obviously Midtown in New York has been kind of closed down. Suppose they were just, hey, you can't even do mail order or anything. You're done. You know, just stay at home and do nothing. And the same thing had happened to DCBS. If Diamond had come and said, you know what, don't worry about it, we'll ship straight to consumers, you know those retailers would have been up in arms saying, hey, you're cutting us out of the loop, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that the people at Midtown and DCBS are not surprised that retailers are questioning this and not overly happy about it. I mean, the minute I saw the stuff on Friday, you know, I knew as soon as Brian Hibbs got wind of it, he would be up in arms, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I think that there's a key thing to put out there right when you say that is Brian is probably the most outspoken retailer in comics. Dennis Barger might be up there, but he's been kicked out of so many groups, unfortunately, that he doesn't have the verbal reach that he used to. Brian is obviously, you know, as the author of Tilting at Windmills, you know, someone that James and I read a lot of his material before taking on the store.
Mm-hmm.
And we reflect on it still and use a lot of his older stuff. His current stuff has really changed tone. And I think Brian is, he is always out for the retailer's best interests. But I think sometimes he gets lost in the world of what he wants for himself personally compared to what the industry maybe calls for and needs. And I actually had a very interesting interaction through a Facebook group today with an individual who was commenting about, you know, here goes Brian again. Why is it that every time something happens, he's just kind of the curmudgeon that says, no, this won't work. You're going to break everything. And my responses were more, you know, in this case, yes, I agree with Brian. I think there's a lot of concerning pieces to this. I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And I don't think this is something you can spin up in less than a week and essentially force retailers into it. I don't even know, like the whole idea of there's two new distributors, but you have to go through this one. Okay, well, that was a little odd. Like, don't I have the right to choose? So that felt a little weird. But my underlying discussion was, you know, Brian is set in his model in his way. He likes his comics experience, trade, sales, store. He doesn't really like his single issue store, but he maintains it because he bought it, there's customers, and there's enough revenue to make a go of it. Not every retailer that agrees with Brian Hibbs on this or any other point is exactly the same as Brian. In fact, I don't think there's really any retailer out there that's exactly like any other retailer. Brian does mail order for his book club. He does not want to do mail order comics. He despises it. He hates it. He doesn't like the labor that goes into it. He doesn't utilize eBay, and he begrudgingly set up a web store to try and just move some of his inventory because he's in a very high rent district in San Francisco. He has high labor costs, and he's trying to do his best to provide for his staff and himself and his family. That is very different than James and I. James and I have been very aggressive in what we've done with our store. We have a very diverse line of products. We go to local conventions when they're not shut down due to a pandemic, 3 weekends out of every weekend a month, or every month, 3 weekends a month out of 4 or 5. So we're on the road all the time. We have an eBay store. I do mail order, right? We are branched out significantly more than Brian, but we still agree with him on this point. So that was one of the pieces that came up in the discussion was, well, just because I agree with Brian doesn't mean that I'm in the same mindset as Brian. And that's one of the things that I think is uniting comics retailers is there's been two things during the shutdown that retailers have really strongly united with. And it was the feelings about the Comics Hub initiative and the feelings about this. And it's just really important, I think, to point out that most retailers would say, yes, there needs to be a distributor disruption.
Mm-hmm.
We agree with that. Doing it with our direct competition and giving them the keys to all of us doesn't seem like a very safe and trustworthy way of doing things. It seems very backhanded. And considering DC was trying to be, you know, the retailer's best friend, it was a behind the back type move. That's how it was perceived.
Well, I think this unfortunately sort of cements the trend that DC has had over the last few years of not being as partnering with the direct market retailers as they used to be. I mean, going as far back as the Walmart giants and some stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what DC is thinking because I don't know why. And maybe they tried this. Maybe, you know, why didn't they work with Diamond to say, hey, can we get stuff moving faster? What can we do? If DC, Marvel, and Diamond had worked together on this, I would like to think we would have gotten a better solution than kind of the chaos that's been ensuing over the weekend.
Right. Right. And you know, I think that's part of the problem is that DC's the only one out doing these things. They're doing a closed channel. They're going behind everybody's back, Diamond included, to talk to DCBS and Midtown. They didn't bother to reach out to anybody else and ask if anyone else had an interest in being a distributor. Is it something James and I would like to do? Well, hell, if we have that option, look at everything else we're doing. Why wouldn't we entertain the idea of being a distributor, or at least a regional one in the upper Midwest? But no, and why not go after Mile High Comics or Lone Star, you know, two of the largest retailers that are kind of more Western? Why Indiana and New York? So there's a lot, just so many questions out there and a lot of frustrations. And I think what we're starting to see is, for the first time, a lot of people in the comics industry are joining together. And I think that's good. And actually, there's one really interesting thing to point out that I almost forgot about. A lot of the communication, pretty much all the communication we're getting from DC, is via Facebook group. The Facebook group has less than 1,000 people in it. And our store has 2 people on the Facebook group. So
yeah,
even if you assigned 1 person per store, you're still less than half. And then you start doubling up and you realize that maybe you have a third, a quarter, probably closer to a fifth of the stores are actually on this Facebook group. One of the retailers that we're really good friends with, who's, you know, within a 25-minute drive from us, we called him up and we're like, hey, you know, did you hear about the news? What news? And we kind of gave him a quick rundown. He's like, no, I don't have Facebook. And that's, I mean, that's his personal choice. He doesn't want to have Facebook, and he does, you know, but he didn't know anything. And so if this whole thing falls out where, you know, DC pulls distribution from Diamond, he'd have no clue.
Yeah, that's a bad way to run a business. There should have been, I mean, they should have contact information for all the stores, an email address, and it should have shot an email out to everybody. It's no harder than putting it up on Facebook, and you can guarantee that it gets to all your customers.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm puzzled by all of this. I mean, the other thing that I think you left out when you were going over the recap of what had gotten us to this point over the last few weeks is, instead of shipping comics, you know, April 1st, that was the start of the blackout, no new comics from Diamond. It was about a week after that that Diamond said, yeah, we're not going to be able to pay our vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a day after that, oh, well, we're going to pay them 25% for the next 4 weeks, then we'll have a 13-week payment plan, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That I found a little alarming, because whether Diamond should have shut down, whether it was forced on them, I set that aside. Let's assume Diamond had no choice. They had to stop distributing just because of shutdown orders, etc. I assume that's true. Don't know. Don't care. You know you're no longer moving product. You should have enough grasp on your own cash flow as a company to know if you can basically be paying people next week or the week after.
Yeah, and we got a little bit more information about all this as time went on, and what it seems like was actually happening was it was a protective measure that the chief financial officer, you know, the finance leads at Diamond, were taking advantage of legal options to basically protect the business, to make sure that if there was a continued prolonged industry disruption, that they, because they have extended terms to retailers, mostly the very large ones, your DCBSs, Midtowns, Lone Stars, those types of retailers have terms. If they're not paying back on their terms, then Diamond is left holding the responsibility. And so they have some contractual levers that they can pull to take that burden off of them and kind of spread it a little bit more equally. I think the most concerning thing would have been if they said we're doing zero. That's when you kind of have to question, like, you've got nothing in the bank. So we found out that it was really more about just preserving the cash flow to make sure that when things were ready to resume, they could still continue to get books out to stores that were paying. Actually, very interesting. On the Slack channel, we've had quite a rousing discussion, or had, I guess, for a couple hours. It looks like everybody's either gone to get a drink or go to bed, but it was really good. We were talking about a lot of different things, and one of those things was terms. How many stores have them? What does it mean? Things like that. And James made a great point on there. He said, we pay for our books the day they come in. We don't like debt in our store. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
We have a company credit card, and there's certain things that we have to use that for, but it's paid in full every month. We pay for our Diamond bill, you know, the day that our books arrive. We don't depend on this week's sales to pay the bill in 3 weeks, right? So, or we don't depend on next week's books to pay for last week's books. The idea is, when we get the product, we have our money into it, and now we can recoup cost. Well, there's a lot of stores that don't do that, especially larger ones, because, you know, in our store, it can be anywhere from $4,000 out of pocket for a small week to, we've had weeks where we've paid over $10,000 for the comics that we're getting in. And for some stores, that's just, it's an impossible number to have, especially your smaller stores. And for bigger ones, scale it up, right? If we're roughly, I don't know, fifth of the size of Midtown and we're getting a $10,000 one of their stores should get a $50,000 COD.
Yeah.
And they rightfully, they should have the money to pay for it based on their sales, but maybe they don't, right? So there's kind of a different flavors for different situations. And if those folks that are on larger contracts and have terms aren't paying the bills, Diamond can't be paying out their bills. So that whole thing was more of a protective measure than anything. Jeppy Enterprises owns a lot of different things. They own Diamond. They own Alliance, which is a gaming distributor. They also own E. Gerber that does Mylights, Mylars, Halfbacks, Fullbacks.
Right.
So they've got a number of, and there's other pieces that they own too.
A Gemstone, I believe, that does Overstreet.
Right, right. So there's a number of things that they own, and it's big corporate finances, basically.
Well, and I agree with them doing what they need to ensure the stability of their company so they can weather the storm no matter how long it lasts. Again, I go back to the messaging being the problem here. If they had basically said, we're going to stop distributing, and then they'd followed up a day later, this is how we're going to handle the payment, we don't know how long this is going to last, you know, this sort of a thing, versus it seemed like it caught them flat-footed from the way the messaging went out about a week later.
Oh, yeah. There's one thing that we've learned is that DC and Diamond both have very, very lacking PR departments as far as communications go. So maybe that's a learning that they can go. I will say Diamonds have gotten better over the couple of weeks. And in fact, over the last 4 days, they've put out some very nice press releases. So, but it's, you know, these times are causing a lot of people to look at and do things differently. And publishers and distributor are no different.
Well, and I think we all have to look at, you know, the system, how it had been, faults and all, and it had its faults, but it was working. And then figure out, you know, where do we go from here? And certainly change is going to happen. It needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, to your point of you wanted somebody to be competing with Diamond, not that you were wanted to be forced into having to suddenly deal with such a competitor. That all comes into play, too. I guess to me, the big question on my mind is here we are. We're, you know, 2/3 of the way through April. There's talk of next Tuesday, new books starting to flow, and New Comics Day, at least for DC, shifting to Tuesday versus still being on Wednesday for everybody else through Diamond. It's like, okay, that's weird, but whatever. How many stores, I mean, there are three categories the stores are in. They kind of never shut down, and they've always been open for business. They're shut down, they can't do any business, and that kind of somewhere in between that they could do limited business. I don't know how many stores are in which categories, and I mean, the ones that are in business not having product, yeah, that sucks.
Right.
The ones that can't do business, getting product would kind of suck.
Right.
So I just don't see a good solution to be had on this.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to those who have been in normal operation and trying to survive. But you know what? Alliance has been shut down, so the bulk of gaming products have been shut down. There's just so many things that have been shut down that it really, you know, when people say it's an unprecedented event, it really is. And part of that means there's just things that are going to happen that we can't necessarily change at the moment. So as we're looking at how those three different groups of people can survive, interact, work, or whatever, you know, the option has always been there for Random House, Simon & Schuster, etc., for distribution of trades. And there are stores that have accounts with them, and they're using that and doing that. And great, that's a lever that they can pull. It's an option they have. But, you know, as an industry, digital has shown that it can't carry the weight. It just can't. And that's why we still have physical medium. So if your main avenue of sales of the physical medium is turned off, then, you know, really, as an industry, you just have to take a pause. You have to take a knee and figure out what you're going to do. And it should be, whatever decision is made, in my opinion, it should at least be a unified agreement across the premier publishers, right? So if, to your point earlier, if this is something that DC really wanted to push, why aren't we seeing DC, Marvel, Image, Boom, Dynamite, Dark Horse, and IDW coming forward and saying, we're all going to offer slim down, off 15% or 10% of our normal output, we're going to offer out for the next 2 to 3 weeks or something like that. And with Diamond being shut down, we're going to utilize these same distributors. that at least gives us enough confidence to say, okay, if we have to set up an account with a new distributor, we at least know that we're going to have enough product to justify the cost of the COD check and the cost of shipping.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that there's a unified approach in the industry from the leaders of the publishing sector to tell us how they view moving distribution forward. When you just have one lone company going off and doing it, you know, it can be great, right? They could have found some new fascinating way of doing it that's going to be amazing for all of us. They could find the next Heroes World. You don't know. And so when it's one company, you're in a time of you know, economic crisis, as it's been coined in some publications, you know, asking your retailers who are already bearing the bulk of the burden in a small market to bear an even bigger burden and kind of sell the farm to try this new thing just to get some new product in. A lot of them are just turning their head and saying, you know what, I've got tons of back issues. I've got other product I can move. I've got trades. I don't want my direct competitors of all people having my information, so I'm just not going to do it. And that's the bulk of the people that we've talked to on a personal level that we know from stores in Wisconsin and a couple other states. We've all decided we're sticking with Diamond just because based on the market itself and when we can open and what we can do, the last thing we need is to have, you know, an influx of 100 new titles coming in when doors are closed.
Yeah, and I think trying to introduce this kind of seismic change to distribution at this point it's risky. I mean, it's risky to begin with at any point. I mean, again, the Heroes World stuff, when Marvel decided to take a regional distributor and say, hey, we're going exclusive with them nationally and stuff, that's what led us from having multiple distributors with non-exclusive agreements with publishers, eventually down to just Diamond that was exclusive eventually with just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny because we've seen the industry, at least I have, and maybe younger people have not, but in the solo distributor, just Diamond, in the multiple distributors with exclusive agreements with different publishers, back when Diamond and Capital were fighting it out at the end of the distribution wars, prior to that, in the non-exclusive multiple distributor realm, and there were probably far more distributors than were needed, but it really wasn't a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could deal with any one of them and get everything.
Right. And if one of them didn't suit your needs, you could say pound rocks and go to a different one. You weren't locked into one.
Exactly. That's not a bad situation to be in. And now we're kind of in the, well, no distributor model.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little nebulous. Some of the other things that are happening with people that we're talking to. So there's a number of creators that are out there being vocal and, you know, hooray for DC for finding a way to get product out. And I refuse to name creators' names because I don't want to change the way people view creators that they love. So There's a creator that who's writing a very high profile book, and this creator has said that you shouldn't care whether your books are coming from DCBS, Midtown, or Diamond. You should just be happy that you have books. And that really ticked off one of our retailing friends to the point where he has this person's direct contact information. He has looked to get this creator at his store. And he sent this person a direct email and shared it with us and basically said, because of your choice of how you want to champion this, I will not be purchasing any of your creator-owned titles and stocking them in my store. I will not offer them to customers as a subscription option, and I will begrudgingly only carry the main title that you are on because it's a flagship title in my store. But please, you know, rethink your situation before you cut the legs out from the bulk of the industry that has carried and hand-sold the things that you had before you were a high-profile creator. And, you know, was it a rash reaction? Probably. Is it a correct stance to take? Not my call. But there are more than one retailer thinking that way. Even more dangerous, you have more than one retailer saying, I'm done stocking extra DC on the shelf. This is, you know, yet another act that DC as a company has made that is just counter to the whole idea of working together in partnership and trying to grow this together, that clearly they don't care, so why should I? If a different publisher is paying my bills, then I'm just going to focus and double down on them. So we already know of a few stores who are saying they're going to cut their shelf copies of DC. They're going to do pulls subscribers only. They're not even going to keep Batman, Detective, Superman, Action Comics. It's zero DC on the shelf, straight pulls only.
Wow.
That's not a good place to be if you're a publisher. Even if it's 10% of your industry, 10% of your market, you're already 30% or less of the market as it is compared to when you were, you know, in the, the upper 30s, you know, 40% range with your number one competitor. And you're going to cut yourself out even more because of the actions you're taking. Now, I'm going to go on record and say, James and I have made no determination on if we're going to change our ordering practices with DC Comics. Our plan right now is to stick with Diamond because we have a known known with them.
Mm-hmm.
We have an unknown unknown with anything else. Do we agree that Diamond has a lot of flaws? Yes, but their singular and only job is distributing comics to retailers. They're not pulling books to go direct to customers. They're not standing something up overnight. This has been their bread and butter for a long time. So we hope that this encourages them to make some proactive changes in some of the areas where they have flaws. And if this accomplishes that and nothing else, this will have been a win, even though there's a lot of hard, but we have not made any decisions beyond that yet because this thing is so fluid that any retailer, in my opinion, who sells the farm and makes a decision today and doesn't even bother to take in what's going to come in the next weeks is doing themselves a disservice.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens next Tuesday and Wednesday, the 28th and 29th, in terms of do books actually make it to stores? How many people have taken advantage of UCS and Lunar? You know, how does that work out? And, you know, I want these new distributors to be successful, just like I wanted the last few other alternatives to Diamond to be successful. I forget what the name of it was, but there was one that was doing a lot of smaller press books for a while. It was run by the guy who did Lone Star Press, Bill Williams.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on the name of the distribution company.
I know what you're talking about. I cannot think of the name. Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted that to be successful, and he got to the point where he didn't have a threshold amount of volume to keep it going. And I question if right now Lunar and UCS are only having DC books, and right now only lower circulation DC books as they spin up and stuff like that. Is that going to be enough to get retailers to say, you know what, yes, I'm going to go do it? Is it going to be enough for it to be a viable business? I don't know. I don't know the people at Midtown, but I'm assuming they've been in business for a while, that they're reasonably smart. I've met Cameron and Christina at DCBS. I shopped with them for about 13 years. They are very smart people. They are very business savvy. They would not have gone into this if they didn't think it could work.
Right.
And if they didn't think it was in their best interests. And presumably the interest of the industry, too.
Right, and no one is denying any of that. No, right, we all look at it and we say, well, if we were fortunate enough to be in that same position, would we do the same thing? Probably, right? We would probably take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also add in that as an industry, we are all aware that Midtown Comics has the Marvel subscription distribution. But that's very different than distributing comics to retailers, right? Because that is merely they get a set amount of books every month that they need to ship out to customers on a contract basis for Marvel. That's it. They don't get an increased discount. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Marvel is selling the books. They are just the distribution engine. So from that perspective, the industry knows that. We accept that. We don't have any issue with that because that's a contract between Midtown Comics and Marvel. And it's an end consumer contract that they're buying the product at the same price. So, you know, we know that. We accept that. There's people that have said, well, what about this? And yeah, we know it. It's fine. It's just interesting. And I do wonder with the reprints and the lower circulation books that DC's putting out or going to attempt to put out with these publishers, I'm first of all, I don't know how they're going to do an FOC on Monday and get a 1 week turnaround to print, ship to distributors, and then ship to stores. I don't know how that's going to work. Clearly, they must have some plan. But what's the threshold for determining if they're going to cancel something? DC's the company that would cancel, you know, great example, the Starman Omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was a book that a lot of people wanted to have. But they canceled it. I'm looking right now. The last sold DC Comics Starman Omnibus Volume 1 through 6 sold for $243.50, more than double what they were going to sell the Starman Omnibus for, I think. So if there's secondary demand for that, you've got a lot of people ordering it and you cancel it. What's the threshold for these books going through new distributors that are mostly reprints and lower circulation? And you're not even getting, I doubt they're even going to get a third of retailers to buy in. Is it really viable from a DC standpoint, or just trying to prove a point?
Well, and DC's now having to incur the cost of dealing with multiple distributors.
Right.
Which is one of the things that was such a problem during the distributor wars in the 90s for retailers of, well, I've got to deal with this one to get these publishers, this other distributor to get these publishers, and at one point, maybe even a third to get some other stuff. you know, back when Diamond and Capital were duking it out and Heroes World was still going. So it's a lot of cost for questionable reward. It's part of why I'm puzzled as to what DC's thinking on this, and I haven't figured that out. I mean, I get kind of the basic, not the specific mindset necessarily, but the basic idea of why DCBS and Midtown would do something like this. From their point of view, it's not a bad move. I hope it works out in the long term to their benefit, because based on some of the retailer reaction I'm hearing, those two vendors may, or retailers may have just kind of ostracized themselves from the rest of the retailer community. And I would hate to see that happen, because, again, Cameron and Christine at DCBS, they're good people. I did reach out this morning via email, trying to get on the press list for both of these new distributors, wanting to see, you know, hey, what's the order form look like? Are you going to give out sales data? Obviously have not heard anything back. I'm sure at this point they don't have time to respond to that sort of an inquiry, because they're still trying to, again, sign up retailers. To your point of there's some that put in for Friday and still haven't heard today when the orders are due, if they've got an account to place orders with.
Right.
So I just, from my point of view, I want the comics. I do care kind of how they're getting out there, because I don't think it makes sense. I think we'd be having a very different discussion if Friday DC had said, hey, we've got these two new distributors. It's Random House and Ingram or something like that. I think people would be saying, oh, well, we're not crazy about it, but they know how to distribute. Okay, let's try it or whatever. It may not have gone over well, but I think it would have gone over better. So I don't know how this is going to play out, and I'm trying to figure out what kind of impact it's going to have on, you know, the number crunching I do, because it's the entire time I've been doing the number crunching, Diamond's been the only game in town. So most of my data feeds are, you know, the Diamond data feeds, not all of them, but most. And now it'd be a matter of, well, what are the data feeds, if any, going to look like from these other two distributors? When do they come out with the data? You know, is it something that I can merge into the same sort of stuff I get from Diamond? I'd be able to get a few new things, potentially, like, hey, X percent sold through Diamond, X through Lunar, X through UCS or whatever. But do I want to go through the amount of work it's going to take to rebuild the system to do that, not knowing how long these distributors are going to be around? Or how compatible the data may be.
Yeah.
So I just think we're seeing a lot of change going on right now, and doing it on top of, starting this week, a third week of no new comics. And comic stores are small businesses. As we've seen, even the big businesses in this industry don't have disaster recovery plans or contingency plans. And I think every week we go without new material puts more and more stores in jeopardy. So getting material out there sooner rather than later conceptually is a good thing, but it goes back to what percentage of number of stores and what percentage of customer base overall is able to handle the flow resuming at this point.
Right.
You know, I don't see good answers out there, and I'm not saying that the ones we've been presented with are inherently bad, but it does seem like shaking up the distribution stuff, particularly with all the chaos that's gone on just over this past weekend, is adding to the stress level in the industry versus reducing it. And I see that in and of itself is unfortunate and somewhat problematic.
Yeah, and I think what we've settled on is a lot of it is the approach that was taken. And messaging is key, right?
Mm-hmm.
If your bank sends you an email that says no cash withdrawals for the next 3 weeks, and that's all you get, you're going to get pretty darn worried. Like, wait, what's up? Where's my money?
Yeah, yeah.
How come I can't get my money? But if the bank says, you know, due to COVID-19, we will no longer be putting tellers in our facilities, you'll have to utilize an ATM to withdraw cash, our lobbies are going to be closed, you go, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay, I get it. I can't go in and get cash. I just have to use an ATM, which may mean I have to call the bank because I have to reset my PIN.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you have the full story and you can understand it. And so messaging is key. And that's one of the things that has been absolutely terrible through this whole thing is messaging. It's everyone says it's unprecedented times, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I'm just about sick of hearing that word and having to say it myself. But it's true, right? The industry has not seen this. This country hasn't seen it since 1918. And as far as I'm aware, in 1918, we didn't really have a big comics presence.
No, it was still about 20 years in the future.
Yeah, it was just an apple in some kid's eye that wasn't yet born.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's going to happen. And as an industry, you know, hopefully we grow from it. We learn. We kind of understand what works and what doesn't. And again, we're all for distribution options. You know, we're all for more than one place to go. But at the same time, it can't just be a turn the switch on overnight, guarantee you that DCBS and Midtown have not acquired any new facilities, guarantee you that they have not acquired any new employees. So it's the same people doing the stuff in the same buildings. And that's the really the biggest concern, is that you've given retailers the distribution rights. And if you're going to do that, you need to open it up to any retailer. I sent a note to DC twice and saying, you know, hey, are other people allowed to become distributors? Because, you know, we'd be interested in what that might look like. No response. Not even a no thanks, sorry, we're good. Just nothing. So, you know, that's the thing, is life's not fair. Totally get it. Accept it. I'm not DCBS, right? I wish I was, but I'm not. But why not allow other people the opportunity? Is there some sort of now exclusive agreement with DCBS and Midtown that they're going to be the only people that are allowed to be distributors going forward besides Diamond? Like, it's just so closed down, and I think so indicative of DC lately, very poorly thought through, poorly communicated, poorly executed. And we don't know what the driver is. Is the driver purely because they're trying to help comic stores? Because I can list out a whole number of other things that other comic book publishers have done that are more helpful than cause this. Is it to help move their own product? If that's the case, and they really want to move a bunch of product in, you know, 10 to 15% of the stores in America, may need to rethink your strategy for trying to make money in this time. If it's so that they can release digital comics, well, you know what? Go do what you're going to do anyways, because you clearly don't care about us. So just go do it. That's fine.
Well, that brings up the question, though, of the Comics Hub idea of kind of the reversal of how digital comics started, of you get a code with your print copy to get the digital. There was talk of Comics Hub, you get a digital with a code to get the print copy.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't Lunar and UCS trying to do that kind of idea? And I'm not saying it's a good idea, because I do think there's a lot of concern of, even though digital was only 10, 15% of the readership, and oh, it's not cannibalizing and stuff, I think the situation is fundamentally different when people are either unable or in some cases just unwilling to go to the comic book store to pick up the physical item. This could be enough to get a lot of people switching to digital. I think there's a huge risk of that.
I think more than anything, it's going to get people just to leave the hobby. Yeah, we've talked, you know, ad nauseum about the fact that comics are, by and large, a physical medium because of the collectability aspect. That is what drives the industry, and honestly has for quite a long time. Otherwise, you wouldn't have conventions to go buy other comics. If there was no value in them, nobody would set them on a table to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So to take away that, or to disenfranchise people from that, I think just really submarines a lot of things. One of the stores that we've been in contact with has said that if this is how things are going to go, they're just going to give up doing new comics and just focus on back issues, because they have a very strong back issue sales presence. And I think that's something that you can look to see as well, as more stores just moving to the back issues and finding other avenues, other products they can bring in to sell.
I'll admit, having changed from going to the weekly comic spotlight every Monday to releasing back issue spotlights, I've debated, do I want to just stick with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that gives me the ability to plan things further in advance. There are a lot of other advantages and stuff. I think this is making a lot of people rethink a lot of aspects of both the hobby, the kind of consumer side of it, and the industry, the business side of it. And each of those two things have very different concerns and issues to deal with. And I just, whatever we're going to come out of this with is going to be fundamentally different. Now, it may be in very subtle and nuanced ways, or it could be in very drastic and blatant ways. I just don't know yet.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem with DC throwing stuff out too is there's an anxiety that a lot of retailers have around what their customer base has got a palette for.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if your store's not open, how do you order and predict in advance for what people are going to want? I mean, we know some of our customers. I probably know the mail order customers as a percentage better than James or even myself know the in-store customers. Just because in the store we have more customers, there's a larger volume of them. So it's easier for me to get to know a smaller set of people. And I know that there's some of our mail order customers that are out of work. I know mm-hmm. that there's some who are continuing work. And I can tell you that those who are continuing work and do get their stimulus check or whatever from the government, the first thing on their list is not buying third prints of Batman 89 from me. Right now, they may call and they may say, hey, do you have a $1,000 back issue? Because that's what they would rather take that, you know, little surprise of cash influx and purchases, maybe some, an indulgence that they wouldn't have. But they're not really looking for the next issue of Daphne Byrne. And I think that that's something that really needs to be understood as well, is, you know, these people that are making decisions, I don't think they really understand how their decision is going to play out in the marketplace. Because if the idea was to stand up a new distributor and sell the books that they had, it doesn't seem like a winning play. Now, we did hear that UCS pulled back almost all of the collected editions that were on for order today and added 65 new single issues. That the picture of that we had seen earlier has disappeared, and we don't know where that is. So we're not sure if that was an oops, if that was reality. You know, it's just more stuff hidden behind the curtain that we just don't know. So it's, at this point, it's really become an annoyance, and I don't even know if it's gotten to be a stressor, because it's kind of moved past that.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many moving pieces that you're just like, good Lord, what's next? You know?
This is something that I think we'd also be having a very different discussion if it was Marvel making these moves instead of DC. If Marvel was saying, hey, we want to get the books back out there because we know that the stores are reliant on it and stuff like that. You know, we've got this momentum with the Dawn of X stuff. We want to keep going. And if they had chosen, you know, Ingram and Random House or something like that, or even if they'd chosen Midtown and TCBS, I think the strength of the material at Marvel is stronger, that it would make a different discussion. Not to say it necessarily would go over better, but I think it'd be easier to say, well, there's a threshold amount of material at Marvel that DC doesn't quite have that makes going through other distributors potentially more viable. And let's face it, Marvel did that in the past with Heroes World. So there's the precedent there. It's just, I think right now what we need is more open discussion, more transparency, and a clearer sense of everybody's agenda and how they think this is the best thing for comics in general. And also how it's going to benefit them. They need to be upfront on that. Because this is the closest I've seen comics in my entire time, you know, associated with the hobby and the industry, the closest I've seen it to seriously going under. There's always the undercurrent of, well, it'll be gone in another few years. But this is the one where we're not talking years. We're talking potentially, it may have already happened.
And I think that this is one of those things where the reason it would go under is not because of COVID, because of the Diamond shutdown. It'll go under because of publishers making rash, bad decisions that force the hand of retailers to choose between sink or swim. Right now, most retailers are treading water, and you throw a new distributor and rushed orders and you name it, it's a pro-con, right? It's a high risk, high reward. Actually, it's a high risk, low reward.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no high reward right now in a pandemic, because you know what? If Daphne Byrne is a short print run and starts going gangbusters on the secondary market, fine. That's a risk that we're definitely more than willing to take.
Let's say they had even said, you know, we're going to put this 230,000, you know, print run or whatever of Batman that Jim Lee was talking about. We're going to have that as part of this just out of the gate to get people excited. I don't know that that would work, because, again, those were orders based on people, you know, being employed, being working, and the economy still rolling.
Well, even DC's come out and said that they're holding Batman 92 until things are back into place, because they want those high numbers. They need those high numbers.
Yeah, but do you
right? They don't want to give you a chance to back it off.
Do you think the volume of stuff that they're going to come out with on the 28th is enough to justify the shipping, getting the books, handling the books, getting them out to customers, all that kind of stuff?
Nowhere close.
Yeah.
James and I did the math. If we were to order those books for the store on a normal week, the books that they had listed, we'd be ordering about 60 issues. Of those 60 issues, to be able to recoup the cost and make as much as we would with Diamond, we'd have to buy an additional 20 and sell through 100% just to get to parity.
Yeah.
And that's not happening in this climate.
No.
And there is no gun to our head that's going to rush us into that decision. Because again, we've taken the time and put a ton of energy into continuing to diversify our sales avenues. And it's working. You know, is it as great as having the store open? Well, of course not. But I tell you what, all of our employees are paid. All of our bills are paid. We still have product in the store. We're still making sales. You know, do we want to go on living like this forever? No. But we are working our tails off to make sure that we stay stable. Oh, and by the way, we're still trying to manage all those other things in life, like our families. Mm-hmm. And our other jobs that we have. So,
well, and all the other responsibilities like schooling your own kids since the whole pandemic.
Yeah, that's been fun.
Yeah.
God bless my wife and my mother and mother-in-law for helping with those things. But you got to make lemonade. And this new approach from DC is like putting a turd in the punch bowl. So we're just not going to put the punch bowl out for the turd to fall in. We're just going to kind of keep moving and keep our eye on Diamond and how they're going to proceed. Now, if DC comes back and says we are no longer using Diamond distribution, then we have to stop and think, because that is a true disruption.
Yeah. Well, that's it's not quite a repeat of Heroes World, but it's damn similar.
Yeah, and that's the one where the industry could really feel some ripples, because that's where I think you stand the greatest chance of people saying that I'm done doing new comics. Or you have places that become I am a DC only store, and you have stores that say I sell everything but DC.
I don't know how many you'd get that are just DC stores. I do think you'd see some that are saying no more DC. Those that have been around long enough to remember the headaches of Heroes World and stuff, and those that are just disgruntled enough at DC and do it out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't come to that. And again, like I said, I reached out to both of these new distributors, you know, introducing myself. Now, obviously, Cameron and Christine know who I am and such. I don't know if the people at Midtown have any idea who I am. But, you know, if I can get the sales data from them, if I can include them into the reports and stuff, I'm at least willing to consider it. It just depends how much work that's going to be. But to me, that's an aspect of that helps them kind of, I don't say get legitimized as being real distributors, because, I mean, they're distributing. It doesn't really matter, hill of beans, if I report their numbers or not. But I do think it makes the picture bigger and fuller on the sales data for them to be included. It just is going to be interesting, because if they do that and they need to do it in a way that I can actually, you know, get a number of units out of it, that gives me the ability to see, well, geez, one of them's doing better than the other, or they're doing equally well or equally poorly or whatever. And they may not want that information out there.
Well, and I guess the other thing that there's just so many questions. And another one is they have no order form. They have no previews type publication. They have no solicitation. They have nothing. So if you were to go to this distributor now, how's Diamond going to like you leveraging their stuff to sell DC stuff? Because these other distributors don't have a mechanism to promote and or sell.
Yeah, yeah. Does the DC previews just suddenly become available through these other distributors? Does Diamond keep doing it? Yeah.
Well, it can't be called previews anymore because that's a Diamond publication. It would have to be DC something or other.
That's an interesting question that I hadn't even considered as to who owns kind of that DC previews name. And DC previews is published monthly by DC Comics. So I don't think Diamond can claim ownership of the word previews. I don't think you're allowed to do that on single word type things. So I don't know that there's anything that would prevent Lunar and UCS from using DC previews as is, because it's probably put together by people at DC, not Diamond. But we don't know. I mean, to me, something fundamentally changed in the comic industry Friday. It's just still unclear as to how seriously, how permanently, and exactly how it changed. Because again, we're getting conflicting stories that's changing over time.
So, sorry, I want to go back to the mm-hmm. previous thing really quick.
Sure.
I think there's going to have to be a change in something, because DC Previews uses the Diamond order codes, right? The February 2000, you know, whatever. That's a Diamond generated order code. And DC submits their previews page layouts and artwork to Diamond and then loads their information into the system. And then the number is applied and put into the order form.
Yeah, but if you pull up the April DC previews, which I happen to have in my hands right now,
mm-hmm.
I am not seeing Diamond order codes on the individual pages. Let me go to the very back where they've got kind of that list of all the items, and they're not there either.
It's just so weird. It's going to be a weird world. It's going to be a new world, new normal. I foresee some potential. I see some potential speed bumps as we go forward with this.
That's a given. It's too big of an endeavor that to spin up inside of a month new distributors, even regionally for half the country.
Right.
And I suspect we got two out of concern of the Heroes World being a regional distributor trying to do nationwide. So I think that's why we got two of them.
Which then again goes back to my point where this seems like it was a very targeted thing by DC reaching out to retailers as opposed to going to any other distribution channel. I mean, there's so many other distributors out there in the world of things. There's open questions as to whether or not you would want to. But going to someone like an Amazon, who is literally a global distribution mechanism, who can load balance across, you know, the entire continent, let alone the world. They can get products from warehouse to warehouse in less than 24 hours. So damages, shortages, things like that. You've got the periodical publishers who have their own distribution networks. Is that a viable option? Another question was, is there a viable option in going to those same people who are already distributing your trade paperback, Simon Schuster, Random House, Penguin Random House, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many other questions. Why two retailers? Why'd you go to two retailers? Diamond has their own proprietary boxes for shipping things. They've gone through redesigns. They've gone through all sorts of things. Is DCBS and Midtown going to have boxes that are prepared to handle the load that a distributor box handles versus an individual subscriber? I've been a subscriber to one of those services. I've gotten, you know, 100 books a month. I know what they come looking like, and I can tell you they do not look anything like the books that I get from the publisher.
Yeah.
Those boxes are not set up to handle, you know, 200 single issues per box packed in tight so there's no shifting, no moving. There's just a lot of things that you got to spin up really quick.
Even putting aside the need for particular boxes, they need boxes at all.
Uh-huh.
For a level of volume that they're not used to handling it, I would assume either Midtown or DCBS. And maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know.
Maybe they can handle it, but for how many weeks straight before they can get their products in stock they need?
Yeah. Again, this is something where they've pulled the trigger. Even if they had decided at the beginning of April, we're going to do this, they gave them 4 weeks to get the boxes, get everything lined up, get the, you know, it's, my mind is reeling just trying to figure out how one would put together a business plan for spinning up a distributor, much less actually spin up the distributor in that time right. frame, even if you've got the leg up being a Midtown or a DCBS.
Well, it also does beg the question, and this was asked in a group, how much support are they getting from DC? Is DC, you know, floating them finances or giving them something else to help them spin up this quick?
Well, yeah, does DC have a stake in the game? And what does this do to whatever stake in the game they may have had at Diamond, having been the first major publisher to sign exclusive with Diamond back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Because this, I think, fundamentally changes the relationship between DC and Diamond. And I doubt for the better in either case.
I agree wholeheartedly.
So I've got to imagine that this somehow is beneficial to DC, DCBS, and Midtown. And again, I hope it works out. I want to see all of these companies be successful. It just seems like a tall ask in a very short time frame.
Yeah, I think if this was something that had happened outside of a pandemic when all business is running as usual, it's going to be accepted and taken a lot differently because the risk isn't as high. Because right now you have the question of can businesses survive?
Mm-hmm.
If that's off the table and it's just now I have another alternative to get my product, well, now I'm all ears. I want to listen. What are the options I have? Maybe this option's better.
Let's go with that for a second.
Sure.
If this had come out, say, in last year at this time,
mm-hmm.
or this time, but no pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and DC had just said, you know what? We're going to let Midtown and DCBS spin up distributors and carry our books. Do you think retailers would have been any more in favor of it in that situation? Or do you think that they're willing to at least begrudgingly say, well, something's happening?
I think the overall reaction would still be, why retail competitors? But you take the stress and the uncertainty of finances off the table, and I think you see more people at least kind of kicking the tires going, what does this mean? I would also assume that if they were doing it without a pandemic, it wouldn't be so rushed. So all of the terms would be out there.
Yeah.
You know, your COD fee, your shipping fee, all of those things would be out there. Is there a point of sale tie-in? Is there an ordering, you know?
Is there an incentive to do it?
Yeah, and it would be more thought out in its rollout and its delivery. So I think that at the very least, there would be a little bit more of a palatable reaction to explore. And that's not the case right now because you've got too many people that are in a position of uncertainty that this is one more thing they don't need to deal with.
Well, and there was an aspect, whether, you know, intentionally or not, and let's assume not, of kind of the gun to the head of, well, your orders at Diamond have been canceled. This is your retailer now, or your distributor now. That, I think, is rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and it's going to take a while for that to go away or not be a sore point.
Yeah. So like I said, I think if this were to happen, even if there was a different distributor to be brought in that wasn't a retailer, I think there would be a lot of questions and concerns with the pandemic. You take the pandemic off and you say, hey, DC is now going to be able to distribute through this distributor. You'll have the same discount codes. You'll have the same X, Y, and Z. It's just a second option. I think that's where you're going to see people get really excited. It's just one of those things of timing and rollout, a lot of that.
They could have positioned it as, we're starting to break the publisher exclusivity with Diamond. We're trying to give you more options, etc. And if they'd done it with some sort of returnability or some other thing that retailers have been clamoring for, it could have actually gotten some better traction.
Exactly.
And you're right. They wouldn't have done it without their ducks in a row. And they were kind of forced to rush through at this point. And I applaud them for trying to get something else out there. I have concerns.
I do too. And if anything, so we talked on our first Blackout episode about how the question of, does Diamond shutting its doors and refusing product break its exclusivity or anything like that and allow publishers to decide to go on different models?
Mm-hmm.
I hope the momentum continues once we kind of get the industry. I'm not going to say back to normal, because I think as everyone is acknowledging, there's going to be a new normal before the old normal even gets close to coming back to being normal again.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just assume that, you know, stores are all open, people are out freely moving, we're starting to get regular orders coming in now. Once we get to that point, I hope this momentum is not lost. And again, if it's enough to get Diamond to double down and invest more in technology and other things, great. If it means that publishers find another distributor to offer product through, okay. As long as that distributor has the chops, the knowledge, the ability, the skill set to do it, awesome. It's not a loss for the industry. It's just what they're doing right now is high risk, low reward. When it's a direct competitor that's getting your personal information, your business's information, and your customer's information, not necessarily great, because they could decide at any given point in time to cut you out.
Yeah, yeah. They have an inherently unfair business advantage. Whether they take advantage of that or not is almost irrelevant. The fact that they could is the concern.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think we're at the point where, you know, in the first one of these episodes, we had seen the lights kind of shut off in the industry. Now we're seeing the potential light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a question of, is that the end of the tunnel or an oncoming train? And I like to think it's the end of the tunnel, but I think there are going to be a few more bumps in the road, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens come, you know, April 28th, when this first set of handful of items theoretically goes out. And I say theoretically because I don't know how many retailers are going to take advantage of it, and if we're ever going to know how many of these units actually shipped.
Right.
I hope we do. I hope they take me up on my offer to try to report on their data. And the sooner I know what that data is going to look like shape-wise, i.e. what columns, what data points I get, the sooner I can start adapting to it, and the easier and more likely it would be for me to actually report on it.
Right.
Not that I think that's a high concern of theirs. It is for me, though. But I'm curious how the 28th plays out, and if the retailers that do choose to go with these new distributors, if they're happy with that or not, and those who haven't chose to go with them, if you know what they're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be in the category of haven't chose, and we'll see how we feel. I think at this point we can assume that we'll have at least one more Blackout episode, which hopefully is the resumption of getting to a normal. We can talk about how things are going to get kicked back into place, but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully all we need is one more. I could see potentially doing two more, depending how next week goes, of just how did this play out, and then at that point maybe we know Diamond's plan, maybe we don't, maybe we're another couple of weeks out for that. It's just so many unknowns at this point still.
Yeah, and just a couple of last, you know, reminder thoughts. Each store is different. Each retailer has a different reaction. Each retailer is doing different things during this time, whether legally they're allowed to or not, what kind of activity they're willing and able to put in, things like that. So the opinions that I've expressed are those of me, my singular opinions and beliefs and thoughts. Doesn't make them right or wrong. They just are what they are. And others, Brian Hibbs and other retailers, are certainly entitled to their own. We don't all have to agree. And I think that, you know, the things that we see in this country that are the best are those times where we don't agree and we debate and we discuss and we come to a better conclusion. I guarantee you that the Declaration of Independence wasn't a completed document the very first time it was conceived. Maybe it only had one writing, but there was a lot of discussion and debate ahead of time. So let's just all keep that in mind. You know, we're in this industry for a reason. We love it. We believe in it. And we hope to see it through. You know, from our store, we're doing everything that we can. And that means, you know, extra hard work during this time. We're happy to do it because it's a labor of love. John, you've done a lot for the industry by keeping these episodes going. You know, you having me on here is certainly, I appreciate it. It's an outlet for me. I hope that people listening at least appreciate hearing my version of things the way I see them. And obviously your input and insights from your position in the industry, both having worked in retail, being a consumer of the product, then also doing the number crunching, and you've seen a lot of trends. So there's a lot of value, I think. And I would just say, if anyone has thoughts, questions about any of this stuff, you know, if you're not on the Slack channel or the forums, that's totally fine. I think, John, you usually put your email out there for people to be able to, you know, send in questions. And I would encourage that. If you've got a question, please do so. Send it in. Share the episodes with your friends. If you're on, you know, Facebook groups or things like that, you know, share it out there. Let's have people talk about it. Let's discuss it, because I'm talking about retailers sitting in a retailer circle discussing things. It'd be great to have more, you know, customers and end product users out there discussing it too.
Absolutely. And I'm game for doing either a roundtable discussion on that with some listeners, or if there are other retailers out there, or if, you know, people from the new distributors want to come on and talk about stuff from their point of view, I'd love to have that discussion as well.
No exclusivity contracts with me.
No, of course not. Of course not. I'm just trying to do what I can to help the industry move forward in the best way possible, and trying to look at things from both a realistic point of view, but also an optimistic point of view, with the best, you know, everyone's working in the best capacity they can for the best outcome they can.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to underscore that every retailer is in a different position. You've said that a number of times. I forget where I saw it, but there was actually one retailer in Florida that I think was arrested for continuing to run his store. I don't remember where I saw that. I thought it was either on CBR or Bleeding Cool, but I'm not finding that article as I'm scanning for it right now. But it just goes to show that even if in your neck of the woods nothing is ever shut down and you're not sure what the big deal is, there are some people that are you know, in very different situations.
Yep.
So we just got to figure out what's best for enough people to keep the industry moving forward that doesn't leave any readers or retailers or publishers behind and unable to kind of catch up and stay in the game if they want to.
Yes. Agreed.
Anything else?
Oh, I think we got this one covered.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.